Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And last week, the title of the message was, What's My Job? And I literally talked about the job of pastors. And this week, the title is, What's Your Job? So we're going to talk this week about what your job is. The reason you need to understand what my job is because many people think that my job is to do ministry. And that's not my job. My job is actually to equip you to do ministry. The Dallas-Fort Worth area is going to be affected because every saint gets equipped for ministry and begins doing their ministry. So we're going to talk about that some today. Now, in Ephesians 4, there's something that many people have talked about, but they've misunderstood where they came from. So let me just ask you this. Pastor Brady shared a moment ago that we believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and we do. How many of you have heard of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Have you heard of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Okay. How many of you have heard of the gifts of Jesus? See, what we've done many times is we've taken Ephesians 4 and lumped it in these into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they're not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We value the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but these are the gifts of Jesus. When you talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are three main categories, not four, because these are the gifts of Jesus in Ephesians 4. The three main categories of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, are the manifestational gifts, the ministry gifts, and the motivational gifts. But the office gifts are actually gifts of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit came, He brought gifts. And when Jesus left, He gave gifts. And these are the gifts Jesus gave to the church, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And He Himself, referring to Jesus, He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I want you to notice, Jesus Himself gave some gifts to the church. And the gifts that He gave are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And let me just show you something about this scripture. It doesn't say that He gave the gift of apostles to apostles. It says He literally gave apostles to the church. He gave pastors to the church. Now listen to me, I know this sounds a little weird, but I don't just have gifts, I am a gift. And you can't return me either. I am a gift from Jesus to the church. And my purpose is to equip you for the work of the ministry. The reason that the church went down for so many years is because we took the ministry from the people and gave it to the pastors. And we said, you do the ministry and we'll just sit and enjoy. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is that I equip you to do the work of the ministry. And that's what Ephesians 4 talks about. Now, in verse 11, there's a word that I think is the most important word in the verse. But most people miss it. Now, obviously, we could say He is because it refers to Jesus. Most people believe the most important word is apostle in that verse, in verse 11. But it's not. The most important word is the word that He repeats. He repeats the word four times. He repeats it three times. Says it once, repeats it three. So it's in there four times. You know what the most important word in verse 11 is? Some. Some. Because here's what it says. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. You know why I think that's important? Because the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, we don't need that many of them. What we need are saints. That's what we need. We really need saints. We need a few equippers, but mainly, if we're going to reach this area, if we're going to change the world, we need you. We need you functioning in your gift. This is what is referred to, Ephesians 4, 11, and 12. They're referred to as the fivefold ministry. You ever heard that term? Well, I don't like to call it the fivefold ministry and just have verse 11. I like to include verse 12, and I call this the sixfold ministry. Because really, the most important ministers here are the saints. Well, we just need some of the others. They're just not that important. We just need some of them. But we need every saint to be equipped for the ministry. All of us are ministers. Did you know that all five of these offices have the same ministry, by the way? I've never heard this taught or preached. And I know there are probably lots of people all over the world teaching and preaching it. But I believe that all five offices have the same ministry. Now listen to me. They do it differently. Apostles do it differently than evangelists do it. Prophets do it differently than pastors do it. But they all have the same ministry. It tells us what their ministry is. Their ministry is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. See, we have people running around saying they're prophets, but they're not equipping anyone. They're just doing their own ministry. Well, that's not what this says. This says that prophets are supposed to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Evangelists. You know, when we think of evangelists, most of the time we don't think of someone who's teaching others to win people to Christ. We think of someone who preaches large events and has a lot of people saved. Wouldn't it be incredible if an evangelist came to town and rather than winning 300 people to Jesus, he equipped 300 people to win people to Jesus? So that when he left, evangelism keeps going. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what these offices are for. They are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And you're a saint, you need to do the work of the ministry. As a pastor, I don't do the work of the ministry. Now listen to me. As a saint, I do the work of the ministry. In other words, I witness to people, but I don't witness to people because I'm a pastor. I witness to people because I'm a saint, because I got saved. As a saint, I do the work of the ministry. But on Sundays, I equip saints for the work of the ministry. You understand the difference? I was getting my hair cut a while back, and the girl said to me, it was in January, and the girl said, I started going to church as a New Year's resolution. The girl cutting my hair, and I said, really? And so I began to talk to her about it. I wasn't talking to her as a pastor. I was talking to her as a believer, because I didn't tell her one thing that I learned in Bible college. I didn't tell her one thing. But I tell you what I did tell her. I told her, even though I was raised in a good Christian home, I didn't know the Lord personally. And I was miserable. And in a motel room, a guy told me how I could know him personally, that it wasn't just believing in my head, but it was giving him control of my life. And when I did that, everything changed. And by the end of the haircut, we stood up and held hands and prayed, and she accepted the Lord. But I did that as a saint, as a believer, not as a pastor. You see what I'm saying? So, you need to be equipped for the work of the ministry. How are you going to be equipped for the work of the ministry? What's your job? Well, I have three things on your job description. By the way, I've only put three for the men. I knew the ladies could handle 8 or 9, but the men could probably only concentrate on three things. So, only three things on your job description. Number one, what's your job? To be available. Number one, to be available. Can I explain something to you? God is not looking for people of ability. He's looking for people of availability. The reason that God doesn't need anyone with ability is because He has all ability. He's got all the ability. So He doesn't need your ability. He wants His ability through you. So He's not looking for anyone with ability. He's just looking for people with availability. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, okay? I'm not so hot. I just want you to know that. I'm not as hot as what you think I am. But I tell you what I am. I'm available. And because I made myself available, God has done great things through me. But He'll do great things through you too. He just needs a vessel. You understand, it's not the water hose, it's the water. The water hose, isn't that great? It's the water that comes out. God just needs a conduit. He just needs, it's not the extension cord, it's the power that flows through the cord. God just needs someone to plug into Him and make himself or herself available to be used in the kingdom of God. Look at this verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these, impart these, teach these," watch this, "to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, I want you to look at that second phrase very, very closely because it's very important. He said, I want you to commit these to faithful people who will be able to teach others. You look for faithful and I'll make them able. Listen to me. Do you realize that the church got that backwards? We started looking for able people and we hoped they'd be faithful. When we start looking for volunteers, we look around for people of ability, and we hope when we give them the responsibility, they'll be faithful. Here's what God said. If you'll find some faithful people, I'll make them able. I'll give them the ability to do it. You just find someone faithful. Now, let me define faithfulness for you, because a lot of people say, well, I try to be faithful, but I fall a lot. I make a lot of mistakes. Did you know that's the way the Bible defines faithful, by the way? You say, oh, I don't think that's right. Listen to me. A faithful person is not the person that never falls. A faithful person is the person that gets up when he falls. That's all God wants, because we're all going to fall. We're all going to make mistakes. Proverbs 24:16 says that, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. And look at this. The Bible calls this dude righteous. He doesn't say the righteous guy is the guy that never falls. He says the righteous guy is the guy that gets up when he falls. That's all God's asking for. It's for you to be faithful. In other words, for you to be available. Available. Now, look on down at Ephesians 4. Stay there in Ephesians 4 for the whole message, all right? By the way, let me tell you that verses 11 through 16 is one of the longest sentences in the Bible. I had a friend of mine last night tell me he was going to memorize it, and he realized it just kept going and going because it just, you know, so he finally just did verse 11. But verses 11 through 16, one of the longest sentences in the Bible. So you need to read the whole thing at some point. Look at verse 14. This is the reason we need to be equipped, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. That's why we need to be equipped. Let me say it a different way. Because we haven't been equipped, we haven't grown up in love, we don't speak the truth in love, and we're blown about by every wind of doctrine. The people who are blown about by every wind of doctrine, the people who go off on tangents, are the people who will not make themselves available to be equipped in the kingdom of God. But when you're equipped, you grow up in love, you understand what your purpose is, and you work toward that purpose, and you're not blown about by every wind of doctrine that comes through the church. So here's my question for you. How available are you to be equipped? You'll never be equipped unless you make yourself available. How available are you to be equipped? How available are you for small groups, life groups, for ministry, for serving somewhere in the church, for classes, for equipping classes, for training classes? How available are you? Don't say no one's ever equipped me if you haven't made yourself available. So that's the first thing on your job description. Here's the second point, to be a servant. What's your job? To be available? To be a servant. Let me show you a calling that's higher than apostle in the Bible. All right? Most think that's the highest one. Let me show you one that's higher than apostle. As a matter of fact, every apostle knew it was higher than his calling to be an apostle. And he begins when he's introducing himself in a book of the Bible, in a letter that he writes to the church that's going to be canonized as scripture. He introduces himself as his highest calling. Let me show it to you. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Okay, here's what he says. First thing I want you to know is I'm a servant, but I was called to be an apostle. You know why he was called to be an apostle? Because he's a servant. He made himself a servant. Look at Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Jude 1, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. All these great apostles introduce themselves. Let me tell you, let me give you my credentials for writing this letter, for being in ministry. I'm a servant. That's the first thing. Now, I know that servant is not an occupation that most people aspire to. You know, when you go to school and you ask the kids, what do you want to be? Fireman, policeman, teacher, doctor. You know, you say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't think any of them say, I want to be a servant. When I grow up, I'm going to go to college, get my degree, so I can be a servant somewhere. That's probably not what they say. But do you know in the kingdom of God, servant is the highest office there is? You can't get any higher than servant. In the world, we define success in the world by how many people you get under you. In the kingdom, success is defined by how many people you can get over you. Let me say it another way. In the world, success is defined by how many people serve you. In the kingdom, success is defined by how many people you serve. See, I'm a very successful man in the kingdom because I serve all of you. I'm just going to keep serving more people. That's what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus said. I didn't come to be served. That's our Lord. I came to serve. Let me show you a scripture. Mark 9, verse 33. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, these are the disciples, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. This is the first pastor's conference, by the way, right here. And he sat down, called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. There's another passage where he says, if any of you desire to be great in the kingdom, by the way, it's not wrong to desire to be great in the kingdom. Maybe wrong to desire to be great, but not great in the kingdom. He said, if any of you desire to be great in the kingdom, become the servant of all. That's what he said. And so these disciples, they're talking about who's going to be the greatest. He said, let me tell you who the greatest is. He's the servant. Do you know, they still didn't get it, because James and John then, later, send their mother to him. Well, you talk about manipulative. Send their mother to him to ask him, and here's what she asked him, by the way. Would you grant, when you come into your kingdom, that one of my sons can sit on your right and one of my sons on your left? Do you remember this story? Now, I just want you to think about this because I want us to learn from this, all right? She said, would you grant that when you come into your kingdom, one of my sons can sit on your right and one of my sons can sit on your left? Now, listen very closely to me. In Matthew 25, Jesus said this, when the Son of Man comes into his kingdom, he's going to put sheep on his right and goats on his left. Now, remember her request. And Matthew 25 goes on to say, and then the Son of Man is going to say to those on his right, come enter into the kingdom prepared for you by my Father. And he's going to say to those on his left, depart from me into everlasting fire. Okay, let me just remind you now of her question. She said, Lord, would you grant, when you come into your kingdom, that one of my sons can sit on your right? Are y'all catching this? And one of them on the left. You see what she's asking? By the way, you ought to read Jesus' response. In Matthew and Mark, here's what he says. Woman, you do not know what you ask. That was his response. You don't know what you ask. Let me just make a point out of this little thing I'm showing you here. Sometimes when God says no, you don't know what you ask. You need to say thank you. If he says no, it's for a reason. And I think a lot of prayers we pray, we don't know what we ask. That's the problem. So, but they're saying we want to be great. Jesus said, well, let me tell you how you be great in my kingdom. Become a servant. Serve somewhere. If you want to be equipped in the body, you say, I want to be equipped for my ministry, start serving. And it may not be ultimately where you're going to end up, but start serving somewhere. But, you know, become an usher, become a greeter, become serve in the children's ministry, the youth ministry. Just start serving. That's the way you become equipped, is to start serving. I remember it is ultimately our goal to serve in our area of gifting, and I understand that. By the way, your gift works everywhere. Some people don't understand that. They say, well, you know, I'm called to this and I don't know how that works. Can I tell you something? Your gift works in the marketplace. Your gift works at the gas station. Your gift works everywhere you are, wherever you are, it works. It'll work in children's ministry. It'll work in youth ministry. It'll work as a greeter. Your gift will work. I'm telling you, it'll work. We don't even refer to missions around here as simply missions. We refer to it as global ministry. You know why? Because some people say this, I'm not called to missions. If you're a believer, you're called to missions. And your gift, the reason we call it global ministry is because we're all called to ministry, and your ministry will work locally and globally. Your ministry will work in Dallas, and it'll work in Burkina Faso. We have one of our missionaries from Burkina Faso here. It'll work everywhere because God has given you that gift. When we had small children, Debbie and I were attending a church where if you had children that you put in the nursery age, you had to work in the nursery once a month. Well, at this time, I was preaching crusades. in stadiums and coliseums and all. But when we'd go to church, we, you know, once a month or however often we got there, we had to work in the nursery. And I'm telling you, that first day I worked in the nursery, when I got home, I had to have a nap. I mean, it wore me out. Here I was traveling all over the world preaching, and I was worn out. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I can't do that again. I cannot do that again. That's not my gift." You ever said that? "That's not my gift." And so the Lord said to me, "Well, what is your gift?" I said, "Preaching. Preaching's my gift." You know what he said to me? "Well, then preach." So the next time I walked into that nursery, little six-month-old babies in the beds, I said, "Turn to Ezra chapter 3. We're going to talk about rebuilding the temple today and how Ezra did this." And I preached to these kids. It was great. The parents loved it because they all went to sleep. Everybody started buying my tapes because it put their kids to sleep at night, you know. But when I went home, I was energized because I took my gift and I served somewhere, but I still was serving. Even it wasn't even my highest call, but I was serving. I was helping the church. All of us need to serve somewhere. Look at verse 16. Ephesians 4, verse 16. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now, what do you notice? Two things. Every part does its share, and by what every joint supplies. Those two phrases. By what every joint supplies, and every part does its share. First couple things I want to say. Number one, you're a part, and here's what I want to ask you. Are you doing your share? Are you doing at least your share? What are you doing in the kingdom? What are you doing in the church? Are you doing your share? Or are others having to do extra because you're not doing your share? That's one way the body grows, is by every part doing its share. But here's another way the body grows, by what each joint supplies. Now, I want you to think about this, all right? It doesn't say by what each part supplies. It says by what each joint supplies. A joint is where two parts come together. Where two parts come together. Listen to me carefully. The body doesn't grow that much from your part. The body grows when you take your part and join it with another part. It grows from what the joint supplies. This is an amazing passage of Scripture to me. In other words, we have to come together if we're going to really affect people. I have to take my gift and join it with your gift. And then that forms a joint, and that joint nourishes the body. It's kind of like the boards on Noah's Ark. Those individual boards would have never helped Noah and his family and all those animals if they hadn't come together. Right? They had to come together. And think about this. Some of those boards would be under the water line. In other words, once that water came up and that ark was floating, you'd see some boards, but there'd be some boards that you wouldn't see. And isn't it amazing that the Bible says that the parts that you can't see of the body are the most important? Which of those boards you think were the most important? The ones under the water line. But I can just hear, since I've been a part of the church so long, I can just hear the conversation of those boards under the waterline. "You know, I can't see where we're going. And nobody ever asks me which way to go. They just make up their mind around here and they just go however they want to go. And nobody asks me, and I can't see where we're going, and I don't like the view from here. All I ever see is a jellyfish float by every now and then. And this is not my place. I don't belong here." And so can you imagine if one of those boards popped out and then popped up on the deck and said, "Oh yeah, this is my place. This is where I belong. I can see where we're going now." Now what's going to happen? The water's going to begin rushing in, and the other boards are going to look down and see the water and look up and see this board walking around on the deck and say, what are you doing up there? And the board's going to say, "Well, y'all didn't appreciate me." And obviously the other boards would respond with, "Well, maybe we didn't tell you we appreciated you, but we appreciate you. And if you don't get back in place, we're all going to sink." And do you realize that it's that important for every board, every living stone to get in place, or the church is going to sink? It's not going to go forward. Your gift is important. But here's how you get in your gift. Start serving somewhere. Be available. Be a servant. Here's the third thing, to be a minister. These are the three things on your job description. To be available, to be a servant, and to be a minister. 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Look at verse 6 in the NIV says, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. New American Standard says, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. New Living says, he is the one who has enabled us to represent his new covenant. And the Amplified says, it is he. That's just a joke. This is the Amplified version. You'll get it later. It's all right. It is he who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient as ministers and dispensers of a new covenant. Now, I want to tell you something. According to the Bible, you're a minister. You're a minister of the new covenant. You're an able minister. And I'm going to tell you something else. You're in full-time ministry. In other words, God wants you to be a minister when you're at work, when you're in your neighborhood, when you're at the grocery store. He wants you to be ready to minister at any time to anyone. We've had this thing about, those guys up there, they're in full-time ministry. No, you're in full-time ministry too. We're in vocational ministry. In other words, our income comes, this is our job, we're in vocational ministry, but you can be in vocational ministry and not be in full-time ministry. I know some people who are employed by the church, but they're not good ministers. And there are some people who aren't employed by the church, and they're great ministers. You are a minister. And we got this kind of thing for years that those are the ministers and we're not the ministers. And then I told you last week about how we've said this one guy has to do everything. He has to preach, teach, marry, bury, dedicate. One guy's got to counsel. He's got to do everything, and it kills him, and it also keeps the churches small. Here's another thing we did. We said, man, when you go in the ministry, you take a vow of poverty. That's not in the Bible, by the way. And we got guys that are, thank you, I will. We got guys that are, we have this mentality. And what we did for years is we created a bunch of beggars. Because here's the thing I absolutely hate for a pastor to say something like this. You ought to give that to me because I'm in the ministry. That's crazy. He ought to pay his own way like everybody else. I have a friend of mine and he's in retail sales. And this pastor said to him one time, you ought to give that to me. He said, why? He said, well, because I'm in full-time ministry, and if you give that to me, you'll be supporting my ministry. And my friend said, well, I'm in full-time ministry too. And the way I support my ministry is selling stuff at retail. If you'll buy it at retail, you'll be supporting my ministry. I'm in ministry too. And one of my ministries is giving. So that's why I sell things at retail, so I can give. We need to understand we're all in ministry. Listen to this. Think about this. How does God reach police officers? Listen to me. This is how he reaches police officers. He takes full-time ministers and disguises them as police officers. And they look just like them. They drive the little cars. They do the flashing lights. They wear guns, everything. They can give you tickets. But they're actually full-time ministers. How does God reach teachers? He takes full-time ministers and he disguises them as teachers. How does God reach doctors? Are you following me? He takes full-time ministers and he disguises them as doctors. How does God reach lawyers? That might be going a little far. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We have a lot of good Christian lawyers in the church. God takes full-time ministers and he puts them in a profession, and that's the way he provides for your sustenance and your family, but actually you're called into ministry. You have to see that. You have to understand that. God provides for you the same way he provides for me. I have a job, even though I'm the pastor of the church, I have things to do. I only preach three times a week. I have other things to do during the week. I have all sorts of stuff to do. It's a job. It's a high-pressure job. I do a job to provide for my ministry. But my ministry is winning people to the Lord as a saint, equipping people, teaching people, helping people, ministering to people. That's what God wants to do. So I'm asking you, are you available? Are you a servant? You're going to have an opportunity today to sign up somewhere, to serve somewhere in the church. I'm asking all of you to serve somewhere. You've come to this church. We are a very service-oriented church. And many of you have come and you've commented on that. Boy, they're so friendly and they're so service-oriented in the children's ministry. We do nights out for mothers. We don't charge anything. We do all sorts of things to help people. Listen to me, though. You've been served now. That's time for you to serve. Every person needs to be serving somewhere. There's a couple in our church, when you talk about full-time ministers, there's a couple in our church named Bruce and Teresa McGahey. They own a hair salon. But I'm going to tell you a secret about them. The hair salon is just a cover. They're really ministers. I know them. You walk in there and you sense the presence of God. They've had employees get saved. They've had all of these clients get saved. They had a client recently born in an abusive home. Abusive home. Marries an abuser, which, by the way, is the pattern because they're dependent. She marries an abuser, an alcoholic abusing husband. She comes there to get her hair cut. That's what she thinks. And Teresa begins ministering to her. And after about a year, she got saved, her husband got saved, her children are saved, they're in a church now, and they're life group leaders. See, I'm telling you, I get my hair cut there, and they do a great job, but it's just a cover. They have the business just so they can minister to people. And I'm telling you that God gave you a cover too. I don't know what it is. It really doesn't matter. But actually, you're a minister. If you'll make yourself available, and if you'll become a servant, we can equip you for the work of the ministry. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit a question right now. It's just you, just in your heart, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? Just take a moment, ask Him in your heart. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? Some of you have never volunteered, never served. Maybe you're new in the faith. This is the way you grow, by really becoming a part. Some of you have served for many, many years, and now you've come and you like Gateway and you love it, but you really haven't gotten involved. You say, I taught for years, and I did children's ministry, I did these things. Get involved here too. Become a small group leader. Get in a small group. Greet. Be an usher. Get involved in the children's ministry, the men's ministry, the women's ministry. Jump in. Be a minister. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take this message and that you would use it as one of your tools to equip all of us for the work of the ministry. In Jesus' name.